This is the recording of the webcast on the 21st of January 2015. And I want to talk this evening about how much do you want? How much do you want? An open-ended question. You know, one of the things I think I've realized is that there is so much of the Father's love that we've really only begin to experience, we've only really begin to touch it. And, you know, I think I said last week when I was in Finland, you know, when I'd been in this for about 6 months or so, I thought I knew that I knew everything about the love of the Father. I thought I'd got it sussed, I thought I'd got it sorted. But, you know, the more I've gone on, you know, the more I realise I really know very, very little. And there is this vast ocean of love for us all to enjoy, for us all to experience, for us all to live in. And, you know, I just think I'm just still paddling around in the shallows, you know, standing on the beach, just paddling around. And there's so much more of this love for each one of us to experience. And, you know, I think I just want to encourage us this evening that there is more and more and more for us to experience. Whatever our journey's been, whatever we've experienced so far, whatever we've been involved with, you know, however far we've come, there is always more for us to experience. And, you know, I just want to encourage you to, like I'm encouraging myself, is just to keep drinking deep and to keep you know, longing to experience this more and more and more. I want to start off with just a couple of verses from Philippians chapter 3, which is a very, very well-known passage. And I'm going to read just a few verses from Philippians 3 out of the Passion Translation. But this is the passage where Paul is talking about all of the things that he's prepared to leave behind in order to press on to what God's got for him. And, you know, I think a lot of the time we think about this whole thing about pressing on is like striving. And it's like, oh, you know, that's, we don't want to do that. But I don't actually believe that's what Paul is talking about here in Philippians. He's not talking about striving, but he's talking about pursuing this relationship with the Father. And I think that the key thing for us is to always set everything in the context of relationship. Because if we don't put everything in the context of relationship, we, you know, we do fall back into striving, or we do fall into our own strength. But if we've got it set in the context of relationship, it's a life-giving channel for us. It's a flow of life in us and through us, and it's that flow of life that does us good. And, you know, I really don't believe that Paul is talking about striving in this passage, but he's talking about him seeing something that has become everything to him. And because it's become everything to him, he wants to pursue it wholeheartedly. So we're just going to read a few verses out of Philippians 3, and then just want to just share just a few thoughts on what I feel Father's been giving me lately, I guess. First of all, verses 4 and 5, Paul writes, "It's true that I once relied on all that I had become. I had a reason to boast and impress people with my accomplishments, much more than other people, for my pedigree was impeccable." You know, and Paul is basically saying that he was top of the class, you know. He had it all sorted. He had a good name. He had a good reputation. He had a good job. You know, he was living the good life. You know, he was a Pharisee par excellence. You know, he was the one everybody looked up to. He was the best student. You know, he was persecuting the Christians with a zeal and, you know, enthusiasm. And, you know, he was basically saying that in the past, he used to rely on all of those things. You know, he wanted to impress other people with his CV. You know, his reputation, his education, his position, it was so important to him. And he says, you know, it was better than anybody else's. And Paul is now saying that, you know, that's what it was like in the past. He used to rely on all of those things. And then he goes on to saying, he said, all of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them. And I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord. To truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting and all that I thought made me better than others on the garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. You know, to say something is a pile of manure is a very polite way of saying something else. And I'll leave that to your imagination. You know, Paul is basically saying that everything that he once thought was really, really important is now just a load of rubbish. It's now a load of garbage. It's a load of manure. You know, he said, I don't want that anymore. He says, in order to get to know who God really is, he's had to let go of everything from his past. All his boasting, all of his reputation, everything that he thought made him a better person than everybody else, he's thrown it all away because he's found a relationship that he wants to pursue and give himself to. Then in verse 9 it says, my passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging to my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. My righteousness will be his based on the faith of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness of God. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the destiny which Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. Isn't that wonderful? You know, he runs with passion into God's abundance so he can discover everything that is his to discover. You know, there's so much enthusiasm that comes through this passage, I think, particularly in this translation. There's just, you know, you can catch hold of Paul's heart when he says, I've really caught hold of something. You know, I've really caught hold of this relationship being so, so important, and I want more of it. You know, when we read this, we see that Paul has just let go of his own strength. He's let go of his own ability. He's let go of his experience. He's let go of his reputation because he's seen something better. He's seen something that is worth everything. And, you know, I think sometimes we can be a little bit like Paul, that we can rely on our own strength, or we can rely on our experience, or we rely on our reputation. And it's like those things become the foundation of our life, that we build what we do on what we've done in the past, or we hope that people will listen to us because we've got a good reputation and whatever. But Paul is saying he's let all of that go. He counts it all as rubbish because he's seen something better, something that to him is worth everything. And, you know, I think my encouragement to us this evening is that we can be like Paul and be prepared to let go of our own strengths, our own abilities, maybe even our own reputation, in order to pursue something that is much, much greater and much, much better. One of the things that Paul realizes in this passage is that he's on a journey. You know, he hasn't arrived at his destination yet. You know, he's he realizes he's just started and there's so much more for him. And you know, that's why he says he leaves it all behind and he presses on, because he can just see that there's so much more. And you know, just as it was for him, you know, so it is for each one of us, that for each one of us, we need to recognize that we're on a journey. That you might have been on this journey for 6 weeks or 6 months, maybe even 6 years, maybe even 20 years. But, you know, each one of us is on a journey. And, you know, whilst we may have received so much and whilst we may have been, you know, blessed in abundance with the love of the Father, and you know, we've seen our hearts change and we've seen our lives change and we've seen our families change, and you know, we've just seen the fruit of living in this river of the Father's love. You know, for all of us, we're on a journey, and for each one of us, there is so much more. You know, there is this vast ocean of the Father's love for us to experience. You know, there's that old Welsh hymn, isn't it? Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as a flood. And, you know, I'm recognizing more and more that, you know, however much I have experienced, there is so much more for me to see the fruit of in my own life, for me to live in. You know, I had an email from someone today and just saying, you know, oh, I want a breakthrough, you know, but I understand it's a process. And I'm thinking, you know, it's both, because we do get the breakthroughs and we do get the process. And, you know, we need both of those just to sort of keep encouraging us and helping us along. But, you know, wherever we are on the journey, there is more for us to receive. There's more for us to live in. There's more of this love for us to soak in. And my encouragement is not to feel like we've arrived. I just want to talk about that in a little minute, but you know, it's to constantly recognize and appreciate that we're on a journey and that there's always more. And like Paul, who had seen something of this extravagant love of the Father and he wanted it, you know, we want to say, yes, that's what I want. But it's very easy for us to be held back on this journey. You see, in the Old Testament, a lot of the Old Testament characters, you know, the great heroes of the Bible, they started well, but they finished badly. And, you know, this is a really broad generalization, but most of them finished badly because they changed from being dependent on God to being independent. You know, they changed from relying on Him to relying on themselves, relying on their own strength, relying on their abilities. And, you know, that can happen so easily for us, that there's this great ocean of love, there's this great vast expanse for us all to enjoy. I mean, we're meant to enjoy it. You know, we're meant to live in it and experience it. And, you know, yes, it changes us and yes, it heals us, but I think ultimately it is something we're meant to enjoy. But there's a real danger that we can change from a dependence on Father to a dependence on ourselves. And what we're basically saying is we can do it. You know, I did it my way. We'll do it ourselves. And what we're basically saying is that we don't need a loving Father alongside us because we feel like we can do it all ourselves. And that's in a sense what happened in the garden with Adam and his wife. You know, they said, we don't need the loving Father alongside us. We'll do it ourselves. We'll do it our way. And they were sold that great lie. You know, you can be like God. You can have the ability to discern good and evil. You can, you know, you won't die, but you can be like God. And Satan, the enemy, held out this false promise to them, and something in their hearts changed from being dependent on Father to being independent, to being dependent on themselves. And you know, that's a real danger that I think we just need to be aware of sometimes, because it's so easy for us to fall into the trap that, you know, we think we've got it, we think we know what we're doing, and we just start to rely on our own strength and abilities, and that causes us to, well, it just prevents us going deeper in this amazing ocean of the Father's love. Another way we can be held back is we can think that the place where we're at is our ultimate destination. You know, where we are at now is the final destination of this journey. You know, we get to a place where we know that we're loved. You know, we know the Father loves us. You know, we know his love is enough. We know something of our identity. You know, we go through, our heart is healed, and, you know, maybe we put relationships right with other people, and we come to a place and we kind of feel, yes, I know the Father loves me. You know, I know his love is enough. And we kind of draw a line in the sand and say, it's happened for me. You know, I've got it all. I know it all. And that causes us to settle, causes us to stay put. It limits us. Instead of saying there's more to come, instead of saying there's a bigger and better experience of love, we say, this is okay, this is enough, I'm happy. You know, what God's done in my life is enough. I can stay here. And so we just build a nice little comfortable fence and we settle down, and we end up stagnating. And what happens is eventually we end up where we say we don't need a loving Father, and because we just stop and we don't go further. And, you know, I want to encourage you, if you feel like God has done amazing things in your life, if you feel like you've gone through a transformation and you know that you're loved, that you know that the Father loves you, you know that his love is enough. You know, I want to encourage you that there is still more. There is still much more. You know, there's more for each one of us. However long we've been on this journey, there's always more. And, you know, you might be feeling like God's done so much in your heart and you're so grateful for what he's done. But I just encourage you to lift up your eyes and see that there is more. And, you know, my question is, how much do you want? How much of this love do you want? Because his love is limitless. It's not possible for us to measure it. It's not possible for us to define it in any human way. And there is just more for every one of us. And I know that there are times when it's a struggle. You know, there are times we feel like giving us up. We feel like giving up. And we kind of feel like, oh, it's just too much effort to pursue and to go after. You know, it's just more pain and more whatever. But, you know, and I understand that. You know, I've been through that, those phases, you know, when I feel like, oh, I've just had enough, you know, and, you know, don't want to go on. But I think what keeps us going is the knowledge that there's always something better ahead. You know, whatever we've experienced, there's always better lying ahead for us. And, you know, I would encourage you that if it's a struggle and if you feel like you want to give up at the moment and you feel like it's just too much effort, you know, can I encourage you that there is something much, much better lying ahead of you? You know, whatever fruit you have seen in your life so far, there is more and better fruit to come. You know, whatever you've seen Father do in your life, there is more to come and there is better to come. And, you know, it might be a struggle at the moment, But I want to encourage you. I'm encouraging myself as well at the same time. Is let's say, I want more. I want more. You know, because how much do we want? It's not like it's rationed. It's not like there's a finite amount that the Father's got to hand out. You know, he has a limitless amount of love for each one of us. And, you know, whatever we've experienced, there's more. And how much more of that do you want? I came across an old Maori proverb the other day, which says, you know, turn your face to the sun and the shadows fall behind you. Turn your face to the sun and the shadows fall behind. And I think sometimes we spend a lot of our time looking at the shadows, and we've got the sun, we've got the light of life, we've got the Father behind us. And if we turn and look at him, then everything that we've been worried about just becomes a shadow. It just falls away, and we don't need to focus on it. We don't need to dwell on it. We don't need to let it consume us. And if you're feeling like, you know, everything's just a struggle, everything's just difficult, why not just turn around a little bit and gaze upon the beauty of your Father, gaze upon his glory, and let all the pressures of life, let all the hassles, let them fall behind you and fade away. It's a good proverb. I like it. I see Walter's commented on it, but it is a great proverb, and it's got a lot of truth in it. So I just encourage you, you know, this evening, that, you know, don't give up. Don't feel you've arrived. Don't feel what you're experiencing at the moment is the fullness that God has for you, because there is always so much more. And, you know, the question that runs through this evening is how much more do you want? Because the Father is not limited in what he wants to give you. You know, how much more do I want? How much more do we want? How much are you going to pursue this relationship with Father? You know, the other thing I've just mentioned, we have to have endurance, but the other thing we have to have is hope. Is, you know, hope means there's an expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. You know, you're believing that something is going to happen. And I just came across these two little quotes. One of them says, and I don't know who wrote it, but you've got to have hope. Without hope, life is meaningless. Without hope, life is meaningless and less. Now, for those of you for English is not your first language, that's just a play on words. But it means, you know, life without, if we're not got a hope, then life doesn't mean anything. And gradually it means even less and less and less. Martin Luther King Jr., he said, we must accept finite disappointment, but we must never lose infinite hope. And it's true that there are times when we will be disappointed. There are times when things will go against us. There are times when we kind of feel, oh, I can't, you know, it just feels like hard work. But we have to accept that's part of life. But we must never lose hope in an infinite God, in an infinitely loving God, in an infinitely loving Father who wants to draw us deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into this extravagant ocean of his love. You know, so often I've seen people give up because it's been too hard, it's been too much of a struggle. And, you know, it's very, very sad when we see that happen. But, you know, I want to encourage us this evening to have a hope, not in ourselves, not in our own abilities, not in our own reputation, but we have a hope in our everlasting, eternal, loving Father. Because if our hope is in him, that's a good, solid foundation upon which we can build our lives. There's a lovely little verse in Romans chapter 4, 4 verse 17, where it's written about Abraham. It says, I've made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. I remember when we bought our first house, when Fiona and I were getting married, and we put the offer in. We have a very odd system in England. It doesn't really work very well, and many of you will know what it's like. But, you know, you put in an offer to buy a house, but someone can come along and put in a higher offer, and that means they can then buy the house instead of you buying it. And it's really very, very unfair, and it causes a lot of heartache. But we'd done this on our first house. We'd put in an offer. We really, really felt it was the right house for us to be living in. It was the right place for us, and it was just an ideal location. Nice, you know, just a nice house. And we knew it was ours, you know, we knew it was the one we were to have. But someone came along and put in a higher offer, and the estate agent said it was going to go to these other people. Well, the next day I read this verse in Romans 4, and, you know, I felt like Father gave me a gift of faith to call that house back to us. It was like, you know, naturally I couldn't see it. It's like we'd lost it. It had gone to this other couple. But, you know, God said he gives life to the dead and he calls things that are not as though they are. And I just started praying, you know, Father, I don't see this. It's something that's not going to happen, but I believe you've spoken about it. And I call it into being, you know, I call it back into life. And 2 days later, the real estate agents came back to us and said, if you want it at the price you've offered and you can complete the deal in a short period of time, then it was ours. And because it was the first house we were buying, we didn't have a house to sell. I was able to commit that and say, yes, we can do that. And we got it for the price we'd originally said. And it came back to us. And, you know, that verse has stayed with me all those years. That's nearly 30 years ago that we did that. And that verse is just one of the verses I go back to when I feel like, you know, I need hope, or I need fresh vision, or a fresh sense of, you know, God doing something. I'll go back and say, Father, I don't see it at the moment, but I believe you've spoken about it, and I call it back into life. I call it into being, because that's how you see it. And, you know, I think in our walk with Father, there are times when we need to be like that, when we need to say, Father, I can't quite see where I'm going at the moment, but I call life out, you know. And I believe that prophetically we can do that. We can call life into our hearts, into other people's hearts. And we can say, Father, you know, I don't quite know what's happening, but I know there's something better. I know you've got something better for me. I know there's a better plan. I know there's more. I want more. I don't quite know how to get it, but I call it into life. I call it into being. Because, you know, that's what God does. The things that we cannot see, he can bring to life. He can bring back into being. And my encouragement this evening is that, you know, for all of us, is that if we're going to, you know, in order for us to enter into more of what Father has for us, sometimes we need to be a bit like Paul, where he says, I press on, you know, I strain towards the goal to which I've been called. See, that's not striving. That's just saying, I want more of this amazing relationship. You know, I want more. And I'm prepared to sort of push through the immediate struggles, the immediate difficulties, because I want more. And you know, because, you know, the question is, how much do you want? You know, if you're happy with what you've got, there's always more. You know, if you're very content with what Father's done in your life, that's a tremendous miracle. But there's always more. There's always more. 2 Corinthians 6, 18, I will be a father to you. You know, that's describing an active and ongoing relationship. One of the challenges I have when in traveling is the Dutch Bible and the Finnish Bible. On this particular verse, they just say, I will be a father. And they leave it there. But a lot of the English versions say, I will be a father to you. And the literal translation of that verse is, I will be to you a father. I will be to you a father. Because that describes a relationship. That describes a father who is involved in our lives. And, you know, it's possible, of course, you know, and we read so many stories in the media and so on about, you know, people who have fathered children biologically, but they have nothing to do with them after that. They just abandon them or leave them to their mum and they just walk out of their lives and have nothing to do with them. And, you know, they are a father, you know, they are that child's father, but they are not being a father to that child in any meaningful way. And, you know, God's relationship with us as father is not just to leave us to our own devices and say, oh, get on with life and then come to heaven at the end of it. You know, his involvement with us is a loving father with his children, where he wants to walk with us each day, where he wants to be with us each day, where he wants us to enjoy fellowship with him, where we can enjoy living in that relationship. And, you know, he wants to be a father to us. And many of you will have heard me say that those two little words, you know, to you, you know, really changed my life. Because that's when I realized that what Father wanted was a personal, ongoing, day-to-day relationship with me. He wasn't abandoning me and letting me get on with life on my own, but he was with me and he was going to walk the walk with me. And, you know, I really believe those two little words can make a big difference to each one of us. And on Barry's website, fatherheart.tv, he's just done a short little video on this verse and on this relationship that Father wants to have. And I would just encourage you to watch that sometime. It's pretty short and just, you know, probably says the same as I've been saying, but, you know, because it just describes this relationship that he's longing to have with us. And we often talk about the Father's love becoming the bookshelf on which everything else stands, you know, but when we settle or when we decide we've kind of got enough of it or we've had enough of it and, you know, that, you know, we know we're loved and we know God loves us and we know his love is enough and we kind of think, ah, we've arrived. You know, when we do that, what we're doing, in my opinion, is we're changing the bookshelf to become a book. And instead of the Father's love being the foundation of everything, the Father's love just becomes a book. And my question is what then is your bookshelf? Because if we don't have the foundation of the Father's love in our hearts and in our lives, what is it that we're building our lives upon? I just leave that question with you, because I've had this discussion with a number of people and they've said, oh, the Father's love is just a book. You know, prayer ministry is another book. Healing ministry is another book. Evangelism is another book. You know, these are all things we need to collect in our life as a Christian. And my question to them is always, well, okay, if you've got all these different topics and all these different projects, what then is your bookshelf? You know, what is your life built on? Because I know for me, I want the love of the Father to be the bookshelf. You know, everything in my life to be based on and built on that. Your Father wants to have this ongoing and active relationship with each one of us. And, you know, like Paul said, I'm prepared to leave everything I've gained through my natural abilities. I'm prepared to leave that behind to pursue this relationship. You know, that's really the very simple encouragement I want to leave with each one of us this evening is, you know, are we prepared to let go of our own strength, our own ability, maybe even our own reputation, in order to pursue this relationship? And just let me end with this question that's run right through this evening is, how much do you want? How much do you want? And what are you prepared to do to get it? I remember we had James Jordan come to our church a few years ago, and he said we had a leaders meeting and we were all sitting in our living room, as it happens. And he said to us, can you imagine if you're sitting in a room with no doors and no windows, and you know there's a banquet in the next room? And he said, what are you going to do to get to that banquet? And you know, you're in this room with no doors, no windows, but he said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to get hold of that banquet? Are you going to give everything to get it? And I know, you know, in my heart there was a sort of, yes, you know, that's what I want. And, you know, just be grateful, really, really be grateful for everything that Father's done for you. You know, I am so thankful for what is done in my life, you know. I really am. I'm so, so grateful for what is revealed to me of his love, what is revealed to me of his personality, what is revealed to me of his heart. You know, I'm so, so, so thankful for the relationship, you know, that he's brought me into. But I've come to realize it's not enough. It's not enough because I want more, because I know there's more to have. I know there's this vast, vast ocean of love that he wants to give me. And for me, it's like, yes, this is what I want. I want as much as I can get and more besides. And I just feel like, yes, I'm prepared to go whatever, wherever, however, to get more and more of this amazing love. Because I really don't think we've begun to see the extent and the magnitude of the love the Father has for us. You know, I just think there is so much more. And it's just building and building and building, and it's there as a gift for each one of us. So I'd just like to pray, and then Barry, you know, feel free to come back and we'll take it from there. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Father, we just open our hearts up to you now. Thank you, Father. Father, just right around the world, we want to open our hearts up to you right now. Father, we open our hearts to you. Father, whatever today's been like, we open our heart to you. Father, whatever struggles we're going through today, we open our hearts to you. Father, whatever pleasures and enjoyments, whatever good seasons we're going through, we open our hearts to you. And Father, we simply want to say we want more of you. We want more of your love. Father, whatever our experience has been so far of your amazing love for us, whatever fruit and whatever transformation we've seen in our lives, Father, we're so grateful for that. But Father, we just want more. We just want more. Father, we just want so much more. Father, we don't want to come to that place where we settle down and where we feel like we've got it. We've had it all. We've had as much of the Father's love as we can cope with. Father, we don't want to get to that place of settling down, but we want to keep desiring more and more of you. Father, we want to pursue this relationship with you, that our own reputation, our own strengths and abilities will become like rubbish or manure or garbage. because we want to pursue you. Father, we never want to draw a line that says this far and no more. But Father, we want to pursue your heart of love, because we know as we do that you will pour your love into our hearts. And so, Father, I just ask now that there would be a release of your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Father, just come to each one of us, wherever we are, in our spare bedrooms, our living rooms, wherever we are, Father, just come and embrace us with your love. Embrace us with your love, Father. Father, just pour more and more of your love. Show us how vast your love is for each one of us. Father, show us afresh the immeasurable, uncontainable love that is in your heart for us. That it's not dependent on who we are or what we've done, it's just dependent on the fact that we're your daughter or your son. And so, Father, just come. Come into every heart now. We thank you, Father, that you're loving us right now, that you've always loved us. And you're pouring your love into our hearts through your Holy Spirit. And Father, we just receive. We receive again. We receive more from you. Thank you, Father. Thank you.